Hey, we're back here. It's time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Mann in the house with us. Hello, sir.
Ah, fine French Syrah. No, sorry, I can't do it.
I like that. That's worse than very good.
If people have not hi everybody. If people have not checked out the Orson Welles latter years doing an ad for Paul Masson.
We sell no wine before it's
fine bubbles not from France, but it's extraordinary. Go to YouTube right meow right after this fine show. So and look it up, Orson Welles. You will have seen it if you're an avid cartoon watcher. You will have seen it mocked in The Critic, starring John Lovitz, as well as Family Guy. It's fantastic. And it's all that's on my mind today because we're thinking about Washington State today, and we're drinking a fine Syrah, of course, a traditional Rhone varietal. And it was echoing in my head as I drove over, which honestly, given recent events, both political and sports related, are the best things that can be ringing around in my head. Although, just prior to coming here, I must say, I'm very hopeful for the future for my Giants, because both of my children are able to throw a deep ball better than Eli Manning. I'm not making this up. I don't know where they got this skill, because I actually don't throw a spiral that well, but both of my kids can huck that thing like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, not like him, but, you know, I'm a dad. But it was really quite extraordinary. Maybe I'm not the dad. I don't know. Maybe, you know, but whatever. They got the deep ball. So go. Because my wife hasn't heard me yell at the television screen like that since the Devils in the early 2000s, right post their last Stanley Cup, when I was really disappointed in life. She was rather embarrassed and when we were all alone, but she was still embarrassed. Which is fine. I understand that. As I said, we're talking about the rest of the U.S. Right this month in the grander scope, because we talked about California all last month, and as it is the 80% producer of all wines made in the U.S., it does deserve its own share of time. But the rest of the U.S. is doing quite exciting stuff, and I did want to share with this month what we're doing here. So we talked about Oregon last week, the Willamette Valley primarily, and when we were talking about Oregon, we talked about Lake Missoula, which was this gigantic lake that was formed by a gigantic ice dam, 2,000 feet high, as you'll recall. And it did not only carve out significant parts of the Willamette Valley, but also into the Columbia Valley, which we're going to talk about today, which straddles Oregon and Washington, and deposited lots of stuff there. So what's the big, big difference in Oregon and Washington states? It's a tremendous, I mean, we sort of talk about it, and it's even in, you know, wine atlases as the Pacific Northwest, right? But it's really, really, really different. We talked about growing Pinots, both Noir and Gris, and some Chardonnay things in the Willamette Valley. But in Washington, you don't really see that. I mean, you see it because every winemaker's got to make a Pinot, and it's got to make a Chardonnay, but anyway, but serious winemakers are focusing on what you can make in Washington. Why is Washington different? Well, once you get past the real lush vegetal areas towards the coast, it's desert. And that is a really important distinction, because the Willamette Valley, not desert, very fertile, very, very lush, but cold, and has the right sort of ripening temperatures for the Pinot family. But in Washington, you have all sorts of different microclimates, and they're all providing that sort of desert-like strain on the grapes, right? So, or on the vines, rather. So it really, it's very good for that, almost to the point where you really do need to focus on irrigation and getting those vines water when they need it, because it can be so harsh. But the wide variety of plantings there is very, very dynamic because of it. Also, what's really cool is, because it's desert and it's very harsh, phylloxera, that little bug that most of America has and eats the rootstocks of European vines, doesn't really exist there. So there's a lot of vines planted on their original rootstock, which is kind of cool, because, again, the more differences in different clones, the more differences in the wines you're going to drink, which is really kind of exciting for geeks like us who don't want to drink just sort of, you know, homogenous, you know, Gallo-produced stuff. With all respect, that has its place, but not in my cellar. So yeah, so as I said, 17-hour summer days. It can be brutal Arctic winds in the winter. And it can be tough on the vines, of course, but they put up with it because, frankly, a lot of the world's great wine regions are fairly harsh. I mean, it's rare that I've gone to a wine region and it's been like, my, this is super pleasant. A lot of the places you can go in Napa and blow, I mean, it's California, it's always pleasant there. But a lot of the other places, it's really not that nice to just kind of be out there in all the seasons, you know. They sort of tell you when to come if you're a tourist. And as I said, it's varied. So you have a very large AVA, that's American Viticultural Area, right? The Columbia Valley, that actually stretches into parts of Oregon and contains a lot of stuff. So for those people that are making these Washington State blends, Columbia Crest is doing a lot of that, and Chateau Saint-Michel, which is Washington's largest wine concern, they're making these blends, and so they need this sort of overarching Columbia Valley AVA to make those wines. But there are better, smaller AVAs, including like the Horse Heaven Hills, you've probably heard of. That's that runs just north of the Columbia River. So the slopes rise on the southwest slopes over the river. And so that river helps moderate the temperatures in that desert-like condition. So it's really, it produces excellent grapes. Other noteworthy AVAs, so there's the city of Yakima, and then a lot of the AVAs are kind of clustered to the northeast of that. There's some of Washington's warmest, names like you may have heard of the Wauluka Slope, which is home to Milbrandt Vineyards, which is one of my favorites. Rattlesnake Hills, Red Mountain AVA. Red Mountain is where, along with Chateau Saint-Michel, the Marchese Antonori from Tuscany has invested a lot of money. So you're starting to see a lot of interest in things that almost including like Antonori, right? Like it's almost like they're making super Tuscans, which are sort of, you know, Bordelais things. You can almost call them like super Washingtons, right? Like they're making Bordeaux style blends that are really very exciting. But not just Bordeaux. I mean, there's really exciting Rieslings, right, which require, you know, harsher, cooler conditions. Well, you can find them in certain slopes that are higher, and again, with the harsh cooling winds, it actually works out very well. So it's very intriguing to see what they're growing there, but it's very diverse, and I think we're going to start to see a lot more foreign investment and export from there, because I think it's the sort of wines that are going to touch a lot of palates very well. So the wine we're having today, as I said, a wide variety, Bordeaux, Riesling, right? Well, we're having a Syrah here. So Syrah, this is from Sharecroppers Wine Company. Sharecroppers named, so this is a wine by the Owen Roe Wine Company. They were started in 1999. There is no Owen Roe, by the way. It's like, which one's pink? There's no pink. It is two couples that started it. And as I said, that was in 1999, and in 2001, and we started to touch on this actually in the early days of this radio show. People are kind of figuring it out now, but there's a big wine glut back in the early 2000s. A lot of wine investment that had produced exactly what it had intended to, and then it overproduced, and things started to fall off economically in parts of the world, including here in 2008. So these guys in 2001 had a lot of friends who were growers in Washington State and said, listen, here's the deal. We think you have great fruit. We don't want to see it die on the vine, but we really don't have the capital to buy that from you and make wine and take that risk. What if you gave us the fruit, we made the wine, and we sold it, and then we split the profits like sharecroppers? So Sharecroppers Wine was born in 2001. We are drinking today the 2016 Syrah. This is sourced from a couple places around Washington State, so it is simply a Washington State appellation. It is absolutely lovely. Dark fruit aromas, kind of tangy and opulent. Gorgeous. Oh, I'm running out of time. I need to mention two things before I run out of time. A, we have a monthly tasting on the 18th from 5 to 7, which we will be drinking this likely, and some other excellent American wines. And also, we have the Bangor Symphony Orchestra is having its annual dinner at the Bangor Arts Exchange on the 3rd of November. We are having a wonderful Italian wine tasting preceding the dinner itself. There's going to be a guest performance from our violinist playing the next day, and it's going to be fabulous. So if you're interested in coming to that, go to the Bangor Arts Exchange or the Bangor Symphony page and buy tickets to that. I would love to see you there. I would love to see you in the store, and check us out next week.
That sounds great. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor.